It's the wonderful word of Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor, have your liberty.
Praise the Lord. Let's do that to the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you, God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your spirit and anointing. Thank you for your presence, God. Hallelujah. Sunday school can be dismissed. Isn't it so good to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else love the Lord today? Amen. Praise God. I love the Lord, and I wouldn't be here without Him. Amen. Hallelujah. What an honor and a privilege, a blessing it is to be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. God bless you. Pray that you make yourself at home. God bless our guests here today. Good to have you here with us. Amen. And Kellen, good to have you here with us. You know, the first time you come, you're a guest. The second time, you're part of the family. So God bless you. Thank you for being here with us. You can be seated for just a moment. I've got some work to do before I get into our sermon. Please remember School of the Spirit this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Amen. Everybody say 7 p.m. That's Friday night, 7 p.m. Everybody say 10 a.m. I'm going to do something today that I very rarely do. I'm thankful that the Lord, through prayer, often gives me my sermons and will enlighten me on what it is I need to preach on. I'm not one to preach something that I don't feel God wants me to preach that day. I believe in order for it to be a word fitly spoken, it needs to be a word for that service. I was thinking about it today after the great preaching that I heard this weekend. I was thinking, what is my favorite sermon? And I came to the conclusion, it's the last one I heard. Why is that? Because I believe every time I get into church, every time a preacher stands behind that pulpit, as long as they're doing it based on the Spirit of God and following the voice of God, I believe that is a word from me in that day. Do you believe the Lord's got a word for you today? Hallelujah. So I pray this is the best sermon you've ever heard. Because it's the sermon that we need today. So that being said, I'm actually going to preach a variation of a sermon that was preached this weekend at District Conference. Again, I rarely ever do that. But I was so moved by the sermon, and as he was preaching it, as he was going through it, I felt the Lord tell me I needed to preach, again, a variation of it, not fully the same, but a variation of that sermon here in this service today. This message will serve as an addition to the lesson I taught Wednesday night on spiritual mentorship. I hope that you were here. If you were not here, I urge you after this sermon to go and listen to it because I got very practical in it on Wednesday night. And if God deals with you at all on being a spiritual mentor or a parent to a kid, you want to serve God, then I would encourage you to go listen to that message Wednesday night on our YouTube page. Esther chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And he being Mordecai." Now, let me first go ahead and address something. The name Mordecai, I spent half the message this weekend in my mind saying the preacher is mispronouncing his name. It's Mordecai. How dare he mispronounce the name? No, I wasn't like that, but it did bother me. I had to go look it up. It is actually pronounced Mordecai. So today, if you've been hearing it in your head, Mordecai, I'm just settling it right now. We can put it to rest, praise God, and you can focus the rest of the message. Is that all right? Amen. So Mordecai brought up Hadassah. Everybody say brought up. That is Esther. Anybody ever heard of Esther? Esther was not his daughter. Esther was his uncle's daughter. Mordecai was Esther's cousin. Everybody say cousin. Why would he need to bring her up? Well, she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to preach a message today that I feel very heavy on my heart, and I pray the Lord will minister to us. I want to preach on taking in the broken. Taking in the broken. Oh, Jesus. I'm so thankful that he took me in when I was broken, when I was alone, when I was destitute, when I needed a Savior. Anybody else can put your Bibles down right now and just begin to rejoice and thank the Lord that he took you in. When you were in your last breaths, he took you in. When you didn't know where else to go, he took you in. When you had nowhere else to turn, he took you in. When you had no more answers, when you were at your wit's end, he brought you in into his house, into his presence, into his family. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing me in, for healing me, for making a way for me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, would you thank him again? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. To find this story, you had to head in your Bible or tap on your phone to the book of Esther. Everybody say Esther. Esther is the well-known hero of the book of Esther. There are some incredible things that she did, and it is well-deserved. Through courage, discipline, good etiquette, proper manners, wisdom, Esther won the heart of the king of Persia. And that's where it began with her and all that she did. She was chosen out of many maids. The king was looking for a queen to replace the rebellious Queen Vashti. And so the king desired to bring in maidens. They would, if you will, be candidates as a new wife for the king. The Bible tells us in Esther 2 and 8 that many maidens were gathered together. The Jewish historian Josephus records that 400 women were selected as candidates for the new queen. Hallelujah. She was on Persia's Got Beauty. Instead of America Got Talent, it was Persia's Got Beauty. She went and presented herself before the king. All the other women presented themselves with as much gold as they possibly could and decked themselves out. They were focused on beauty. But Esther knew she needed to win the heart of the king, not just the eyes of the king. So Esther, through wisdom, would put on what she knew the king appreciated. She inquired of his servants, "How do I serve the king?" Well, I'm still inquiring, how do I serve the king? Hallelujah. And the Bible says that out of all 400 women, the king loved Esther above them all. In verse 17, it says she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the other virgins. He set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. What a great honor. What an amazing thing that was. She was a Jew. She did not tell anybody she was a Jew. She was a despised, one of the despised Jews there in that land, in Persia. Yet the Lord exalted her to the position of a queen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful the Lord still exalts people. Now there is a reason why God did that. It wasn't just to make her a beautiful person. It wasn't just to make her a queen. But the Lord had a plan in all of it. Despite all that she did, there was a man that stepped up. A man named Haman, who hated the Jews. Haman wanted to wipe the Jews off the face of the map. He had no idea that the queen was also a Jew. He set a decree signed by King Azarias himself that on such a day, there would be great destruction. The 13th day of Adar, there would be great destruction upon the Jews. That every man and woman would have not just the right, but they would be called upon to go after and hunt down every Jew in Persia. The stakes were pretty high. But the Lord already had a plan. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that Queen Esther heard of the great destruction that was coming. She knew she had to speak to the king through the advice of Mordecai. But despite that, she also knew it had been 30 days since she presented herself to the king. 30 days since summoned to approach the king. There was a rule that if you were to approach the king without being summoned, instantly you were to be put to death. The only exception of the rule is if the king would extend his scepter out, and that would designate he found favor in his eyes toward that person. Despite the potential of great harm, Queen Esther sacrificially presented herself before the king in order to expose the lies of Haman. She didn't just have beauty, but she had courage to do what needed to be done. Hallelujah. The king extended his scepter. Esther requested his presence and the presence of Haman to two different banquets. She didn't just have beauty and courage. She also had grace and wisdom. She had boldness. She invited the king and her enemy to her front step. But she knew She had to win the heart of the king in order to expose the schemes of Haman. She put it all on the line one day when she declared to the king that it was Haman who was trying to destroy the Jews, and she herself was a Jew, and through her courage, the Lord saved all of the Jews from certain destruction. Oh, the Lord does still use people to do great things. Anybody want to do something great for Jesus? Because of the courage of Esther, Mordecai reversed Haman's decree by issuing a second legally binding edict in King Ahasuerus' name. This decree would empower the Jews to assemble, to arm themselves, and to destroy anyone who would try to destroy them on the 13th of Adar. God completely turned it around. Oh, the Lord's going to completely turn it around in Jesus' name. You can imagine the joy in the streets. That's why to the Jews, this is a beloved story, because it was the day the Lord spared the Jewish race in Persia. Today there might not be an Israel if not for the Lord bringing Esther. Today there might not be any Jews left if not for the Lord preparing Esther. It brought great joy and it brought great fear to the enemies. It brought joy to the Jews and fear to the enemies. God used Esther to deliver the Jews in Persia. And I believe in this house, the Lord is going to use people who may feel insignificant, who may feel small, who may not feel important. The Lord can do big things through small things. The Lord can use important things through unimportant people. If you're under the sound of my voice, hear me today. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord has purpose for you if you believe that. Stand to your feet, worship the Lord, and tell him, thank you, Jesus, for my purpose in Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, you're not just anybody. You've been called with a purpose. You've been called for such a time as this to be used by the Lord. Everybody say, he wants to use me. He wants to use you. But if I may, now that I've got the foundation set, preach the message I feel God desires for us to hear today. Because before Esther was a queen, she was first an orphan. Before Esther was a hero, she was a victim of unforeseen circumstances. Before Esther was an overcomer, she was overlooked. And before Esther was beautiful, she was broken. Can I tell you today, she didn't start there. She didn't start in a palace. The Bible tells us that at a very young age, Esther lost her father and mother. At a very young age, she lost the people who most cared for her. She lost the people who cherished her the most. Her front row was gone. Her cheer section dead. I don't care how old you are. The loss of a mother and a father will break you. She was broken. She was destitute. She was alone. She was lonely. We only ever see the hero, Esther. But I'd like to present you with the victim, Esther. We only ever see the queen, Esther. But I'd like to present you to the orphan, Esther. Why is that? Because though I believe God's got a purpose for you, and I believe that God's going to use you to do great things, your story probably doesn't start that way. And if I can preach to the church for a little bit, when people come through those doors, they're not coming through as royalty. They're not coming through with a crown on their head. They're not coming through as heroes of the story. They're coming in as spiritual orphans who are searching for a home and a people who love them. Can I present to you the status of those who do not have Jesus Christ in their life? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. It paints the perfect picture of what it is like to not have that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says that at that time ye were without Christ. Everybody say without Christ. Being aliens. Aliens being without a home. Without mother and father. Stranded. Strangers. Hallelujah. Without Christ. We were aliens from the wealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. This is the true status of those with Christ, having no hope. Everybody say, no hope. No hope. And without God in the world. When people walk in those doors, they're coming in as aliens from the household of God, strangers of the promise, having little to no hope, having little to no potential, having little to no experience. Why? Because they are without God. They do not know the joys that you know. They do not know the love that you know. They do not know the peace that you know. Oh, but thank God there's a church that they can come to, and they can find joy, and they can find love, and they can find hope. It's all right. You can respond as I preach or don't respond, but I pray the Lord will grip every person in this house. Because Mordecai was not a prophet. Mordecai was not a preacher. He was no highly regarded leader. He was just a cousin that saw a little orphan girl. He was just a cousin that saw a need And he got it in his heart and said, if she's got a need, I've got what it takes to help her. Church, when people walk through those doors, maybe they're not a cute little girl like Esther. Maybe they're a ugly guy. I can say ugly guy. I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Maybe they're a man in their middle age, but they're orphaned. And they're broken. They don't have money. They're on parole. They're drug addicted. I know the way that they look walking through those doors, but oh, can you see the potential of what they could be and what God wants to do with them and where God wants to take them? What's standing between the orphan and the queen? Won't you put your finger, that bony finger on your chest, and say, me. Me. Because before there was a king's palace, there was a cousin's cabin. And before there was an assignment, there was an adoption. And before there was royalty, there was relationship. And before Esther would know the love of a king, she would feel the care of a cousin. You can say, well, I'm not their mama and I'm not their daddy. Maybe you're just a long-lost cousin. Maybe you're nobody to them. But when you see the need, we've got a responsibility to take them into our home and to say, I'll make room for you where I'm at. I will bring you in. I will adopt you. I will make you like you're my son, like you're my daughter. I will take care of your needs. Before Mordecai preached to Esther, he made room for her in his life. What are you doing today, Pastor? What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, we've got to make room in our lives for the orphaned and the broken who are coming through those doors. Before she will ever see or have a seat at the king's table, I'm wondering if there's anybody who will make room for them at your table. Before she'll take up abode in the king's home, I wonder if you'll make room for her in your home. I wonder if the church will make room for those coming in. I know Matthew 11:28. I love this passage of scripture. No doubt this is Jesus speaking. It's Jesus speaking from his own heart. Jesus speaking from his own potential. But if the church is going to be like Christ, we too must utter these words. We too must say, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can't wait until the king and the queen walks through the door before we treat them like they're royalty. They're going to come in broken. They're going to come in lonely. They're going to come in destitute. They're going to come in orphaned. Church, will you take them under your wing? Church, will you bring them into your home? Church, will you pull up a chair at your table for them? Everybody look around. Look around at all these empty chairs. We already know there's room for them in the church. But what I'm wondering, church, is there room for them in your life? We know there's room for them in this building. But until the church says, I'm not going to just come to church for me. Oh, Jesus. But I'm going to pray for somebody while I'm there. And I know I like eating dinner with my family, but I'm going to invite them to come at my table and eat my food. Oh, Jesus. Revival is going to require room in our lives. Revival is going to require room in our lives. It's not just about responsibility. It's not just about coming in and seeing a quota be met. I love having a church that's packed out. I love rejoicing when we have we have record attendances. But if this church is going to grow, it's not going to be because of responsibility. It's going to be because of relationships that are grown from a group of people that says, yeah, I've got room in my life to love them. I've got room in my bank account to give to them. I've got time in my day to offer them. Yeah, I'll talk to them on the phone. Yeah, I'm going to reach out to them. Yeah, I'm going to take them with me when I go to the store. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to teach them a Bible study. Anybody got room in your life today for the orphaned and the broken? And today you'll say, I'm going to take them into my home. I'm going to bring them into my life. And I know when they walk through those doors, we're eager for pastor to preach to them and set them straight. But before Mordecai corrected Esther, he cared for Esther. And before he could lead Esther, he had to love Esther. Oh, that God would lay it in our hearts to say, before I expect them to change, I've got to change in my affection toward them because they need a home. Everybody say they need a home. They need a mother. They need a father. They need a cousin. They need a brother. They need a sister. Who are going to see them in the miry clay and stick their hand down and help them up. Esther chapter 2 verse 20. Is this all right today? Esther chapter 2 and 20, Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people She was queen, but she would not show what kind of people she was. Why is that? Because Mordecai charged her not to. But look at this, verse 20. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. We can't just bring them in. We've got to bring them up. I want to see this place filled, but if all you do is just bring them in and you don't set it in your heart to bring them up, this place is going to pack up and then it's going to be empty again. Because we can't just bring them in, we got to bring them up. Bringing someone in can be done just out of compassion. But bringing someone up requires us to take the responsibility for their souls and say, I'm not just going to pray them through and I'm not just going to baptize them, but I'm going to teach them a Bible study. I'm going to correct them. I'm going to show them how to walk with the Lord. I'm going to show them how to pray. I'm going to show them how to fast. I'm going to show them how to worship. I'm going to bring them on up beside me. I'm going to take my time to train them to live for the Lord. Come on, somebody. We got to bring them up. We got to bring them up. If you want to have any kind of influence in their life, you're going to have to decide that you're going to bring them up. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I am willing to take on the responsibility of that ugly man. Again, I'm one of them. I can say it. Look, I know the way they look right now. And I know what your mind might be thinking right now. But can I remind you, it wasn't long ago you were in the same boat. And I was in the same boat. Come on, we got to remember the words of 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. And such were some of you. But somebody brought you in. Somebody brought you up. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Listen, such were some of you, but there's royalty in them. They may be orphans today, but there's royalty in them. They may be nothing today, but God's going to do something great in them. Oh, Jesus, don't see them for who they are. See them of who they could be. We need people who can see with the Lord's eyes. Hallelujah, who won't see a thief on a cross, but will see a soul and can declare this day, ye shall be with me in paradise. Come on, don't see a thief, see a preacher. Don't see a murderer, see a prophet. Don't see an orphan, see a queen. And raise them up to be queens and kings. Raise them up to be preachers and prophets. Raise them up to be who the Lord has called them to be. Come on, mama and dad. I'm talking to the parents as well. Hallelujah. Raise them up to be royalty. That's what that verse means. When she walked in to meet King Ahasuerus for the first time, she didn't just bring the advice of Mordecai, she brought what she learned from him. She brought her manners. Why? Because when she was living in Mordecai's house, he told her, get your elbows off the table. Am I right? She learned how to present herself. I don't know how Mordecai did that. The Bible never says he had a wife. He apparently did it by himself. Oh, come on now. What excuse do we got? What excuse do we got not to bring him into our home? Hallelujah. But she learned how to be a queen in her cousin's house before she ever went into the palace. You got to train them. You got to bring them up. You got to teach them the word of God. Why? Because one day they're going to use the word of God to cast out demons, to heal the sick. You got to teach them how to walk with the Lord. Why? Because one day they're going to be tempted with sin and you got to show them the way. You got to teach them how to worship in the midst of a storm. Why? Because it's going to rain one day in their life, and they're going to need to know how to praise. They're going to need to know how to worship. They're going to need to know how to shout through the storm. Oh, church, I wish you would hear what I'm saying. She learned from her adopted father. Before Esther would put her life on the line to stand before the king, being summoned without being summoned, Mordecai would place his own life on the line to stand before Haman and not bowing to a man. You've got to teach them how to do that. Who's going to teach them if you don't? I know today they're not a queen, but who's going to teach them how to be a queen? I know today they're not a king. Who's going to teach them to be a king? They're not preachers today, but who's going to teach them to be a preacher? Oh, I pray everybody around in this place, if you could close your eyes and begin to get in the spirit. Right now, I rebuke that spirit that's saying that you're just going to let this message pass you by. That spirit that's distracted you on your phones. That spirits that distracted you saying that this isn't for you. You're doing your part. That's not what I've come here to do. I've come here to tell you that there are orphans in the house of God that needs parents. I've come to tell you that this house is filled every single Sunday with people who need a Bible study. And I can't do it all by myself. There's got to be some people who will put their money on the line, who will go get a Bible study just so you can teach them. Because I'm not willing to see any more babies lost. I'm not willing to see any more people come into the house of God for one service or two services, and then they're gone with the wind because they are spiritual orphans looking for a mom and a dad. They're looking for a cousin who will step up, who will initiate the conversation, Who will take them to lunch after service? Who will visit them on a Wednesday or a Thursday? I'm just checking up on you, my friend. The Bible says even when Esther was in the palace, that Mordecai walked around the palace inquiring about her. There needs to be somebody inquiring about them. When you don't see them here, you got to get out and go after them. How are they doing? What's going on with them? Why haven't I seen them? How can I pray for you? When people walk into the house of God and they walk out without a friend, without somebody who's connected with them, can I tell you it's the church saying they're content with them being orphaned? Oh, carota da randa da da bosota na da da bosota. I caranda da da basuti. Church, this is it right here. You wanted revival. I know really what we said is we wanted, what we were saying is we wanted to see people get the Holy Ghost and get healed. That's not revival. Revival is orphans finding homes. Revival is the hungry being offered a meal. Revival is orphans becoming queens and kings in the presence of God. Anybody got room in your life for an orphan today? Why don't we stand? First thing we're going to do is we're going to pray about this in church. I'm asking you, please. Please come down to this altar, please. Cry out to the Lord until you feel a deep burden inside your heart. Until you feel a deep burden in your heart for the lost. I'm not going to have music right now. You can come, you can get ready, but we're not going to have any music right now. But that you would come with a burden and say, Jesus, I know I need to be. You can come, but I want you to listen to me for just a moment. Listen to me for just a moment. When it was time for Esther to step up, Mordecai told her, he had to command her not to sleep on it, not to think that she was going to escape all of this. When they're struggling, we've got to be there to remind them of who they are. But here's what he said to her. Your and your father's house may be destroyed, but who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I wonder if Mordecai could say those words and remember years ago when he had a decision to make. Years ago, he had to decide if he was going to lay down his life, if he was going to give away his solitude, if he was going to offer the food from his table. Years ago, he had a similar decision to make. Am I going to open up my home to this little orphan girl who's broken? I know it's not always as glamorous, but the decision he made right then was just as important as the decision she made when he said, "You've come into the kingdom for such a time as this." The decision we make right now, it will make the difference for them. But look at this, because years ago, he became a spiritual father. He became an adopted father. It was Esther that ended up saving his life. By being a mother and a father, by being a cousin, but adopting them, you don't know the future that you're setting up for yourself. You don't know the future you're setting up for the kingdom of God. One day they may be the one being a pastor behind this pulpit. When we preach at Brother Hamby's church, I know I'm meddling, but please hear me. When we preach at Brother Hamby's church, how many of those people, they were already there. They were the ones that prayed Pastor Hamby through. And now he's their pastor. Because somebody loved him enough to care for him when he was a nobody. I'm done right now. Why don't you go ahead, put your face to the altar and say, "Jesus,